Session number 8227, Brigadier Basil Rackham, Part 1.
Well, first of all, could I ask you something about your background?
Yes.
What sort of family did you come from? Whereabouts were you living?
Well, I was born and brought up at Wicker Market, the flour mills there. Just over the way here, 5 miles out.
What did your father do for a living?
My father, he came from a real Suffolk stock, the old real old yeoman family, he was very keen on farming, but his main thing was he had this water mill at Wicker Market, and then a local engineering firm built a steam mill, a roller mill, which was a great event in those days. He used to supply flour and all sorts of other corns and that around. But he was really very keen on the farming, and he had a farm at Campsiash and farmed that as well.
Where were you educated?
Would you like to hear about my mother?
Yes,
well,
right.
My mother was quite a different sort of person from Suffolk. She came from a Staffordshire family, and her father was for 17 years organist at Lichfield Cathedral.
At Lichfield?
Lichfield Cathedral.
Lichfield, yes.
And I'm named Basil Bedsmore, which Bedsmore was my mother's maiden name.
I see.
But when they married, my father was 23 years older than she was. He was in the early 50s and she was in the late 20s.
Did you have any brothers and sisters?
Yes, but two brothers and two sisters, and I'm in the middle. I'm the third boy.
Did your brothers survive the war, the Great War?
Yes. Well, my eldest brother was not medically fit, but he was also reserved because of all this milling business. He was essential to keep it going, and my father was getting rather old then. And so my second other brother, who was still alive in Wicker Market, he was commissioned in the Royal Marine Artillery and served in France, and actually went out to Mujeres, I think. So.
Where were you educated, Brigadier?
Cranmer College.
Did you have any military training there?
Well, in the OTC, yes.
Did you like that?
Yes, liked it. Yes, oh yes. We liked it very much. We had a very good commanding officer of that, a chap called Cobbinger Hill.
Did you have any idea when war broke out in 1914 in August that there was a war coming? Had you expected
yes.
it?
Oh yes.
What made you think that?
Well, all the portents were there. I mean, it was inevitable that the two fleets would eventually clash, and all the signs were that there would eventually be a conflict.
How did you react when war broke out?
When what?
How did you feel when war did break out? Can you remember how you felt at the time, your reactions to it, the outbreak of war?
Well, our reactions, I suppose, were mainly we must get there and join. The whole country was terrific. Well, enormous number of volunteers, and I was only 17, and the age for joining at the first was 18, and so. But that's really why we went into the Navy, because they were taking them in at 17.
I see. That's why you joined the Navy, was it? Because of the age factor?
not only quite that, but because they'd lost all these people in Holland, and they were starting what they called a public school battalion for the Naval Division, and we wanted to join that, and in fact did join it, but it only got to a company, because they then realised what a waste of material it was. Fall of Antwerp, I think about a couple of thousand of the Royal Naval Division crossed the frontier into Holland and were consequently interned there.
So they were trying desperately to make up the numbers, were
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they were trying, yes, make up.
So where did you actually enlist? Can you remember where you were sent initially? What battalion?
Well, we both enlisted at the Union Jack Club, just outside Waterloo Station.
That was you and your brother?
No, brother, yes.
Yes. And can you remember your enlistment, the scene? Was it very busy?
Oh, yes, terrific, yes, yes.
People were enthusiastic, were they?
Oh, terrific, because we all thought it would be over by Christmas and we should all be back again. But
is that what you really expected, a very short war?
I don't think we thought much really about it, but that was the general opinion, that it was over by Christmas. The only one who didn't think that was Lord Kitchener, who said it would be 3 years.
How did your parents react to your joining the Naval Division? Two sons.
I think they were apprehensive as to what might happen, but they were proud of us, I think.
You were saying that, first of all, they formed this public schools division, is that right?
The public schools battalion, they started, yes.
And you were in that, were you?
Well, we joined it, yes, this company. But it never got to a battalion because, as I say, they thought what a waste of good material it was to have these in the ranks.
And then you were taken out, were you, and commissioned? Am I right in thinking that?
Yes.
Could you explain what happened to you then?
Well, what happened, we at Union Jack Club, we were, first of all, vaccinated and sent home for 10 days leave. Then we were told to join what was called HMS Victory 6, which was nothing more than the Crystal Palace. And we joined the Hawk Battalion there, and D Company of the Hawk Battalion was the public schools company. But most of them were then taken out and commissioned. And we lived in the Crystal Palace, with some elementary training going on there. We lived in hammocks, and the administration was not all that good, and then there was an outbreak of spotted fever, and I came out in spots and was told I'd got it, and so I was carted away into one of the buildings where they were isolating them in, called Canada, and then the doctor said, and then in the meantime the battalion had moved down to Blandford for training, but so I missed them, that's why I didn't go out with them, and the doctor came along and said, you haven't got spotted fever, you've got measles, we'll take you out of this, because I was all among the spotted fever people. And he also said, well, and you've been granted a commission.
So what, would you have been a sub-lieutenant then?
A sub-lieutenant, yes.
Sub-lieutenant, yes. I see. Yes. So you really missed going out to the Dardanelles earlier on, did you?
Yes.
Because of your spotted fever and then measles.
Yes.
I see. What happened to you then after the battalion had departed for the Dardanelles?
Well, we spent a short time at the Crystal Palace, and then we went down to Blandford for field training. Hutted camp on Blandford.
Yes. I see. What did your training consist of? Do you remember?
Well, there was an extraordinary man, an extraordinary character, called Captain Levy, who was in charge, really in charge of the training. He was a guardsman, really. Gordon Highland. Then he was commissioned into Gordon Highlanders. And he was guards all over, terrific. But that was all the drill stuff of it, you see. And in the field training down at Blandford, well, we did various exercises, and particularly digging, quick digging.
But was this in preparation for trench warfare?
In preparation for Gallipoli. Yes.
Anything else you can remember about the training? How about your small arms training?
Oh yes, we were well instructed in the and lots of shooting on the ranges, but of course automatic weapons had hardly come in then.
What were you using? Can you remember?
What
weapons were you using at that time for training?
Oh, the Lee Enfield rifle, and its bayonet.
How about tactical exercises? Were you having any practice in that direction?
Yes, certain, all very elementary.
Any sort of special training did you have? Special skills? Can you remember?
Not really, no. We did. There were some naval people who tried to introduce knotting and all that sort of thing to us, which we were interested in, but it wasn't. It was only a sideline.
Yes, I was wondering how about naval, you know, naval practices, how they came in. Were you trained, would you think, in infantry methods than naval?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Infantry. Army infantry, as opposed to, you might say the Royal Marine training, really, because we had lots of Royal Marines with us.
How about sort of naval procedures and ranks? Did you feel that you were part of the Navy rather than...
tremendously, tremendously, simply because we were with the Army, as it were. The esprit de corps for the Navy, the fact that we were terribly proud of it. And of course, the people who had been in the RNBR prior to the war were very, very disappointed that they were not going to sea; they were going to fight on land. But in the end, the Naval Division established a tremendous name for itself, and was one of the six divisions which was specially mentioned by the Germans as being, whenever those divisions are there, there's going to be an assault. You know, the top divisions, as it were.
So you felt it would seem a very special sense of identity.
Oh, terrific, yes. And of course we had tremendous advantages in that, one, we were Navy and they were Army, as it were, and we had our special training centres. Now, I mean, you never left the Naval Division, whereas the ordinary Army chap might go anywhere. And so we were much more of a family. And the traditions went on, only just wound up because of age. We had our dinners and reunions and everything.
When you look back upon your training for Gallipoli, do you think it was adequate? Do you think you were well prepared for what later happened at Gallipoli?
Well, I think we were as well prepared as we could be under the circumstances. We weren't trained anything like so highly trained as the paratroops are now, those sort of people, the Falkland Islands people. But for those days, I think it was all that one could expect.
When you you were commissioned, how did you find having to order the other ranks about, you know, your relations with the other ranks? Did you take to that relatively well?
Oh, yes, yes. Quite easily.
You were very young after all, weren't you?
I was just 17, yes.
But you had good relations, did you, with your other ranks?
Oh, yes, yes. They were mainly miners from Newcastle. Splendid chap. Interesting thing, when I was, after my measles, when I was picked again, I was not yet actually commissioned. I knew I'd got a commission, but I wasn't commissioned. And I went into the, well, not barrack room, in one of these buildings where all our hammocks and all that were, and all among the miners. And I put my pyjamas on, and they said, "Oh, can't have that sort of thing." So off came the pyjamas. They stripped me of the pyjamas. I had to sleep in the singlet, in the naval singlet, which was perfectly all right, but it's just an amusing point. Oh, they were wonderful people then, not like these people, the present-day people, the extremists.
I suppose, really, the miners were very useful for digging, did you find? Digging
marvellous,
trenches.
Marvellous. Absolutely terrific. Our trenches, both in Gallipoli, but more especially in France, were the admiration of almost everybody.
And that was due to their special skills, do
yes.
you think?
As to emphasise our... The army, when we came to France, the army tried desperately to get the naval division disbanded. And in fact, it was one of the conditions when old Jackie Fisher went off, you know, just left his post. One of the conditions of him coming back as First Sea Lord was that the naval division should be disbanded. But it wasn't. It went through and fought magnificently in France.
So you would have been part of D Division, is that right?
Part of what?
Were you Hawk Division?
Hawk Battalion.
Hawk Battalion D Division. Is that what you said?
No. Hawk Battalion. D Company was the public schools company, but then that was, I say, nearly all of them got commissions, and so that faded out.
I see.
The D Company still remained, but it wasn't public schools.
Yes. So you're in Hawk Battalion, of the Royal Navy Division, is that
Royal
right?
Royal Naval Division.
Royal
yes.
Naval Division. Yes, that would have summed up your unit, the Royal Naval Division.
That's right, Royal
yes.
Naval Division.
There wasn't a subdivision within that you belonged to.
No.
No, it would have been your Hawk Battalion, would
oh,
have been
yes,
that
yes.
Division.
Yes.
So what else did you do before you were sent to Gallipoli? You say you were at this hutted camp at Blandford and you were training, and obviously training your men. Was that all you did before you were posted to Gallipoli? You stayed there the whole time?
Oh, yes, stayed there the whole time, yes.
When did you first hear that you were going to Gallipoli?
We knew all along.
Did you? Mm. Were you receiving news back from the
see,
peninsula?
Well, when I say we knew all along, the naval division had, the greater part of it had gone to Gallipoli, were there.
Yes, you have explained that, and yes. you knew that you would be following at some
oh,
time.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, were you receiving news back from the peninsula? Did you, for instance, know what had happened in April at the various beaches in the Helles area?
Oh, yes.
How did you react to that?
We wanted to get out there.
You were anxious to go?
Anxious, oh yes.
Did you know that you were in for a rough time once you got there?
Yes, we did. Oh yes.
Can you remember the occasion when you were told that you were actually going?
I can remember the occasion. Yes, it didn't create any surprise. I mean, we were delighted that we were at last off.
What date would that have been, Brigadier?
That would have been about August 1915.
you issued with any special kit?
Well, we had the pith helmets and drill and all that issued, because at that time it was very hot in Gallipoli.
Any special equipment did you gather around you?
No.
How about you personally? Did you go out and buy anything to take that you thought might come in handy? Any little bits and pieces you took along as your personal possessions?
No, not really, nothing of note.
Could you now tell me about your journey? When you left Blandford, where did you head for?
We embarked at Southampton.
How did you get to Southampton?
Train. We trained at trained at Blandford itself, and all the village people were out to see us off.
Oh, that was rather nice. Was that quite an occasion for them?
Oh, yes, the village of Blandford was very, very friendly with us up at the camp.
Did you have much interaction between the camp and the village?
Oh, yes, yes, and not only the... well, Blandford wouldn't like to be called a village, I suppose. It's a little town like Woodbridge. But there were several villages around. They were very, very friendly.
And what sort of send-off did they give you?
Well, just so, as the train went out, cheering and all that.
Was that good for your morale?
Yes. Mm.
How about Southampton? Were you given much of a send-off there?
No. It was, you know, right down the docks and on the ship.
What was the name of the ship?
I'm not quite sure. I think it was the Franconia.
Now, can you tell me as much as you can possibly remember about your journey to the Dardanelles on the Franconia? You know, what sort of accommodation did you have, for instance?
Well, we, the officers, had excellent accommodation. The ratings were very crowded, naturally, but... the officer's food was absolutely first class. The ratings not so good. But in those days, you know, there was a great gulf fixed between officer and rating.
Was that a good thing?
I suppose it was in those days, yes.
Why was that?
It was... Everyone?
Why was it a good thing in those days?
Because they looked for leadership. I mean, you understand what I'm talking about, and they're very different now. But the ratings were looking for leadership, and they admired the leadership. And we had some wonderful, I'm not saying by myself now, but we had some wonderful leaders in the Naval Division. Freiburg, Asquith, the son of the Prime Minister, Rupert Brooke, A.P. Herbert, wonderful, and of course Freiburg of all people.
Could you tell me about these men? What was so marvellous about Freiburg?
Freiburg?
Yes.
He ultimately became the most decorated man of all in the Guinness Book of Records, with a VC and four DSOs, and all of the other things that went with it, KCBs and all those sort of things. He was a dentist in his family. He was a dentist in New Zealand, and when the war broke out, he was fighting in Mexico. And he came over to here, and Winston Churchill picked him up and put him in the Naval Division. Two of them, his brother too. And he won his BC in, well, he first won a DSO when he thought he ought to have had the BC, when he landed at Gallipoli alone and lit some flares and all that up at Beulah, up the top in Gallipoli, as a distraction. And he got the DSO for that, because he was a junior officer. And then he succeeded Colonel Quilter, who was a local man here, Bordsey family. Colonel Quilter, who commanded the Hood Battalion, and he succeeded him in the command of the battalion. And then in France, he was commanding the Hood Battalion and won a magnificent BC in the Battle of Yonk, which was the last major action of the Somme series of battles.